Good morning, America. Dennis O'Brien, president of O'Brien Retirement Investment Group in Mystic, Connecticut. Hope everybody's doing well today and get away from the news and get outside today. Beautiful, crisp fall morning. A little overcast, but what the heck? Get out there and have some fun. I'm going to Clyde Cider Mill sometime this weekend. And I want to go see that new movie with, what's that, the singer, Lady Gaga, and the handsome guy, what's his name? Anyway, Star is Born, right? The remake of it? Yeah. I was just talking to my friend down in Noank, and she said it was great, loved the score, loved the music and everything else. So hopefully Lori and I can go see it tomorrow if we get a minute to go. It'd be fun. Welcome to the Retirement Life Investing Show on 94.9 News Now Radio. Rocky, great show. You were rolling today. Boy, I was coming up Colonel Ledyard Highway listening to him, and he was just rocking and rolling as usual. He's such a nice, nice man. Very quiet in person. And then he gets on the radio, and he's the tiger of Ledyard. What a wonderful man, though, and stuff like that. You know, this time of year, you start to reminisce. You're getting closer to the holidays. When I went into the office this morning to write, first I went to Ed Hutter and Mandy, to get my monthly adjustment. So they cracked me up pretty good, and I'm nice and loose, and then I headed to the office to start writing for the show, because each show I write, you know, an hour, 2 hours, whatever, and I just start writing. And people, I do not know what the subconscious is going to bubble up that day. So so I just started writing, and this is what came out. So I was reminiscing a little bit when I was younger, and I am the luckiest man in the world. Well, let me explain. For years, I toiled on Wall Street, commuting from my parents' house 2 hours each way when I first got out of college in the early 80s. When I was a young lad in the 1980s, my sister Loretta started commuting with me, and I had to watch out for her because she was young and a beauty. And she claims I was overprotective brother who was killing her social life, which is probably true. But she was young. You know, I was probably, 23, and Loretta was probably about 20. And she started commuting in with me, and I took her under my wing because it was quite the thing to take the train out of Pearl River. My parents lived in a little town called Orangetown at the time. They had moved there when I was in college. So we had to drive over to Pearl River, catch the train all the way down to Hoboken, then take the tube underneath to the World Trade Center, and then go up the escalators there and then wind up on Wall Street and walk another 10 or 15 minutes. So when Loretta started coming with me, I showed her the ropes and how to do it and everything else. Eventually, I figured I had enough money, and I first moved to Englewood, New Jersey, when Dad told me it was time to move out of the house about 2 years in. You know, he was like, so, you know, you got to remember, I was the oldest of six, so it made a lot of sense, you know, but I had it pretty good. So when push came to shove, and Jack said, well, you know, you could start looking for a place. I said, all right. You know, I got to start paying real rent. I was giving him some money, but I wasn't paying real rent. And so I moved to Englewood, New Jersey for a year, which is right above the George Washington Bridge. And I would take the bus over and the train and blah, 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 blah. And eventually I was making enough money that I got an apartment on the Upper East Side, my big, beautiful one-bedroom bachelor pad for $950 a month. My sons, who live in New York now, two out of three, tell me it would be over $3,500 a month for a one-bedroom in the neighborhood I was in. So it was an interesting time. I would walk over to 79th in York and get on a line for a taxi. It would take four people, $2.50 each, right down the FDR to Wall Street in about 15, 20 minutes, and I loved it. It was great. My early days on Wall Street were a revelation, to say the least. I met people from all over the country and all over the world, many of whom were from wealthy families, you know, people I really hadn't met before. You know, I grew up on Staten Island. I was just kid. I went to Catholic schools, ran around the neighborhood like every other kid. When I got to Wall Street, though, it was a whole different story. And I met people, and I was exposed to things, and I enjoyed getting to know my coworkers quite a bit. I'll stop for a second because on the line I have Shireen Anderson, who is running the Mystic Film Festival. Hi, Shireen. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Thanks for calling in. Shireen is a well-known documentary filmmaker who lives in Brooklyn and just bought a home in Mystic. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
So the Mystic Film Festival is coming in 2 weeks, right?
Yeah, I think a little less than 2 weeks.
Oh, good. You have something you want to tell my listeners?
Well, yes. Our opening night is on October 18th.
Okay.
And that will be at the Mystic Luxury Cinemas, and we are screening a film called Starfish. And that film was mostly filmed in Westbrook, Connecticut, and
huh.
a few other points along the Connecticut shoreline. So it's a Connecticut film, and I'm really excited about it.
It's going to be a red carpet event, the opening
red
night.
Red carpet event.
Woo-hoo!
It will be fun.
Yeah.
It will be a lot of fun.
Now, this is the first year for the film festival, right?
Correct.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I think this thing is going to grow, don't you?
I think so. That's our hope, you know, to have the film festival every year. And this year we're starting out with a four-day event.
Okay.
But hopefully, you know, we'll grow to be a week-long event, possibly
yep.
from weekend to weekend. So
okay.
That's the plan.
Wow, that'd be a lot of fun. How's the reception been from filmmakers?
People are very excited about it. Part of our mission is to promote local film and local filmmakers.
Fantastic.
In Connecticut and New England, and so
yep.
they're all very excited to have a platform to showcase their film. So it's been very, very positive.
So it's really a four
as well has
yeah.
been very, very, very. They've embraced it, and I'm getting lots of help from people, and I expect a pretty good turnout.
Fantastic. Now, if they want to learn more about the Mystic Film Festival, which starts on October 18th through the 21st, how do they get tickets and follow up on the agenda?
Well, probably the best place to go is our website, which is mysticfilmfestival.com.
Okay.
And on the there's a tab called Films at
yep.
the top. And
yep.
click on that, and you'll find the schedule. You'll find a link taking you to two different websites where you can book films, tickets for screenings at Mystic Luxury Cinemas and the Mystic Noank Library, which is where we'll also have a lot of our film screenings and panel discussions.
Excellent, excellent. Are going to be any celebrities coming?
We are hoping. Yes, actually, we will be having a celebrity at our award ceremony on the closing night.
Good.
And we are hoping to get one of the actors from the movie The Song of Sway Lake, which is screening on October 19th at 2 p.m. at
okay.
Mystic Luxury Cinemas.
Okay.
Very well-known actor,
okay.
originally from Connecticut.
Okay.
It's not 100% confirmed, so I don't want to say his name yet, but...
Big guy, right?
Big guy.
Yeah, big guy. All right. Well, I'll tell you.
And I would also love to give away two tickets to one of your listeners.
Okay.
So
first one to call in.
Yes. Anyone who's interested. I guess first caller or however you want to.
First caller that comes in. Shireen is going to give you two tickets to which night?
It's actually
Saturday at 2 p.m.
Friday at 2 p.m.
Friday at 2 p.m. Okay.
Yeah, the Song of Sway Lake.
Okay, 860-464-9490. If you call in and want two tickets, free tickets to the afternoon showing, please call in, and the first two will get the tickets. Shireen, thanks for checking in, and I'll pass along that listener's information to you. Thanks again.
All right, great. Thank you so much. Have
You're
a
welcome.
Wonderful weekend.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
So just to summarize, the Mystic Film Festival, October 18th through the 21st. O'Brien Retirement is a sponsor, and we're hoping that we get a great turnout and some celebrities, red carpet. We're going to have some fun here in October in New England. What can get better than that? See you in a few. Thank you. Welcome back to the Retirement Life and Investing Show with Dennis O'Brien, your host, president of O'Brien Retirement Investment Group in Mystic, Connecticut, and you are on 94.9 News Now. Hope everybody's doing well. And we have a winner. Sandy from Westerly has won the two tickets to the 2 p.m. showing at the Mystic Film Festival, October 19th at the Mystic Luxury Cinemas, where Shireen Anderson, who told us about there might be a celebrity coming to that one, and he's from Connecticut. He's been in a lot of movies, and we're looking forward to it. So absolutely wonderful. Congratulations, Sandy. So anyway, let's just go back. I was just reminiscing about starting to work on Wall Street and everything else. Basically, when I was young and I eventually got an apartment, which was very, very reasonably priced, but I saved my money. And many of my coworkers were out every night, but I knew my mom and dad were not going to bail me out. So I didn't want to be a fool, and I was careful with my money. I eventually did get a credit card, but I got a American Express card because American Express at the time made you pay back the balance every month. There were no floating balances. They basically charged the merchant, and you had to pay it back within 30 days to American Express, which was great because this enforced discipline was great because I knew early on it was not free money. Now, my first debt, I'm sorry to say, in the early 80s was a car loan for 18.9%. No, you did not hear wrong. 18.9%. Okay, your rocket scientist on the radio got a car loan at 18.9%. I still repeat it to my kids because at the time, as you know, in the early 80s, many of you know if you're old enough, interest rates soared. Interest rates soared. Why? Because Vietnam, they were printing money like crazy and guns and butter, and late 60s and then the early 70s, the two oil shocks came, and that put the economy down the tubes, and then they started printing money like crazy in the mid-late 70s. Inflation rose. We had wage contracts at 12, 13%. And when Volcker came in the early 80s, he raised the rates to float up, killed all that, slowed down the economy, but Reagan brought in the tax cuts, and then the economy zoomed, and interest rates eventually started falling, and they've been falling for the last 30 years since that, okay? But at the time, 18.9%. Now, the car was only $7,900. So I think I financed $5,000, but I paid it off in 2 years. But that at the time was, I just remember hating the feeling of debt. And I'd look at the car and say, I can't wait till I own it. I didn't feel like I owned it when I had to make payments on it. But why do I say I'm lucky? Why did I start this conversation? Well, I'm driving home the other day to my 1.2-mile commute down the Mystic River. And the cloud show on the river is just tremendous. And I laugh to myself because this is my commute now. I'm the luckiest guy in the world, and I meant it. Mom, my dad was an Irishman. People say I'm an Irishman. No, I'm not really an Irishman. My dad was an Irishman. He was born in County Roscommon, Ireland. And he worked on a farm for the first 24 years of his life. Hardest working man I ever knew. But he had a saying in his Irish brogue. He'd say, a fool and his money soon part. And that's the saying I hear in my head. And anytime I see something, you know, a lottery winner, get on Facebook and tell everybody, I hear my dad's voice going, a fool and his money will soon part. And so I took it to mean, don't be a fool, right? So this show today is about how to not be a fool with your money, because basically honoring my dad. Well, what does a fool do with his money? All right. Number one, first of all, a fool never brags about how much money he has, whether it's verbal or through their actions. Well, in English, that means don't be flashy with cars, houses, boats, or possessions. You don't have to be the high bidder at the local charity auction. You don't have to show all your fancy vacations on Facebook or social media. You know, that's, you know, be cool about it. If you're well off, God bless you. I think it's fantastic. But don't be flashy either verbally or through your actions with it. Be willing to help others less fortunate. Be cool. You know, you're either cool or you're not cool. That's cool. Okay. Second, be a tortoise, not a hare. What do I mean by that? Don't look for the quick buck. A fool will look for the quick buck. Occasionally we get it. The fool will find it. Of course, we'll brag all about it on social media, right? But occasionally you get it, but don't seek it out or expect it. Anybody who promises you a quick buck is full of you-know-what. Be steady, disciplined, and plan out your approach. I will help you. Once you start, it becomes fun, and you get the spouse and kids involved. It's a great, great family lesson. So number two, be a tortoise, not a hare. Plan things out. Work with your spouse, kids, grandkids. Show them what you're doing, how you're doing it. I'll help you set it up. And once you start, it's a lot of fun, and much more fun than being a hare and going for the quick buck on every turn. Number three, what does a fool not should not do with their money? Number three, don't keep all your money in the bank. Keep 3 to 6 months of expenses there, but invest the rest for either income, growth, or a small amount of speculation. I say small, okay? You don't know what you're doing yet, so don't speculate with a lot of money until you know what you're doing, okay? You will find it to be challenging, stimulating, exasperating at times, and absolutely fun. More importantly, you can help your family learn as you go. I love the newbies, and I call those the new investors. You're a newbie if you've never invested before, okay? I love the newbies. I love helping them develop good investment skills, okay? And there is a skill set that comes out to it, okay? Number four, what does a fool not do with their money? Double negative here. Keep all the money to yourself. A fool keeps all his money to himself. Might seem counterintuitive. The more you give of your time and money, the more you get back in terms of joy, community, and a sense of well-being that cannot be bought. Don't be a fool. Give to those who might need a helping hand. Very simple rule. All right? And the people that have discovered that magic, and that is magic, because it seems counterintuitive, but the more you help people, the more you get back. And the more you get back, the more you want to help people. And it just goes round and round and round. And it's a wonderful way to be. And one of the things I love about Dave Ramsey, he says, when you start putting money away, make sure you give back, help out. Through your church, through whatever organization, maybe you don't have a lot of money, but you want to give your time, try to help others. It's a wonderful way to be. And it's something that can't be bought. Number five. Not being a fool, by my father Jack. Don't be a fool and try to do it all yourself. In this case, find a financial pro to work with. You'll be amazed how helpful a pro can be for a very reasonable cost. Less stress, a trusted source and friend, invaluable in this area. All right? I don't do my own taxes. I have a CPA. All right? I don't have an insurance license because I can't keep up with that stuff. Somebody wants Medicare supplemental, I go to a pro that keeps up with it and goes to the seminars and the continuing ed. All right? I have pros around me that help me. You should do the same. Don't try to do it all yourself. And I constantly talking to people that are doing it themselves, and I just shake my head like, what are you doing? And they start telling me they're writing call options and buying puts, and they're doing this and that. They bought indexed annuities, and they're doing all this crazy, crazy stuff. And I don't even say anything anymore. I just shake my head and walk away. So you come see me when you want to get real about it. Number six on how not to be a fool with your money. You plan out their estate so that everybody's on the same page. And this is a biggie, especially when you get in your 70s and 80s. All right? A fool will keep everything to himself, won't tell anybody anything, okay? Not being a fool means you have started working on your estate, got everything in line, the wife's on board, the husband's on board, the kids are on board. Don't leave this. Tell the kids what's going on, all right? Especially if you start getting forgetful. If you don't have any kids, find a trusted pro. Get some pros around you to help you organize things and get everything in order. Okay, I have people come in and just run their wills by me and their documents just so I can read them and make sure there's no funny business going on. So in any case, that's part of it too. Number seven, a fool overspends on stuff while a wiser person spends money on experiences such as trips sightseeing, adventures, etc. I know it's my personal preference, but stuff is stuff, but memories are a lifetime. Go see the world. As the Weather Channel says, it's amazing out there. Go see the world, especially in your 60s, early 70s, while you still can. Go. Go see the world. Go. Stuff is stuff, okay? There's people in this area that have stuff in their basement, stuff in here, stuff everywhere. And they're not enjoying their life because it's just stuff. So that's my personal preference, okay? But that's one of my don't be a fool areas. We'll be back in a few. Dennis O'Brien for the Retirement Life and Investing Show. If you'd like my Retirement 10 Commandments or I'd like to set up an appointment, go to www.obrienretire.com. And you are listening to 94.9 News Now Radio. Thank you. Welcome back. 94.9 News Now, the Retirement Life and Investing Show with Dennis O'Brien, your host, president of O'Brien Retirement Investment Group, www.obrienretire.com. If you'd like my Retirement 10 Commandments or set up an appointment, just go to the site, hit the button, and we'll hook up and talk and everything else. We were talking about the 10, what does a fool do with their money? My father, Jack O'Brien, who immigrated from County Roscommon, Ireland, always told me, a fool and his money will soon part. Don't be a fool. What does a fool do? And when we were talking about bragging about money, going for the quick buck instead of planning things out, keeping all your money in the bank, keep it all to yourself and not share, try to do everything yourself, never planning out your estate quietly, never telling anybody what you're up to. And number seven, fool buys stuff and not experiences. Experiences are absolutely the way to go. Number eight, many people walk out. Here's one that really gets me. I don't think there's anything sadder. I see it from time to time. And the wealthier the guy or gal is, and it's mostly guys, I'll be honest, the wealthier the guy is, the more it is part of their makeup. But it kind of sad when they do this. Many people walk up to me in their senior years still keeping a scorecard on how much someone has in assets versus them. And my answer to that always is, who cares? You don't know what somebody's life is really like. You have no idea. And the idea of keeping a scorecard on net worth is absolutely moronic. Okay? Your life is your life, their life is their life, and you have no clue what their life really is. And don't judge from the outside based on outside stuff. You have no clue, okay? So please, enjoy your life and stop with the scorecard crap. Nobody cares. When somebody goes, oh, that guy, oh, this guy, that guy, look at him, Lamborghini. Please, spare me. Ninth, don't marry for money. It never works. I've never seen it work, and I've been doing this 38 years, and I've seen it, you know, a lot of different stuff. It just doesn't work. And number 10, I just can't think of number 10, so call in at 860-464-9490. If you have any other things, don't be a fool with your money. Don't do this versus that. I know it's kind of a negative, nasty kind of motif here, but, you know, it's the mood I was in this morning, so what the heck, everything else. So anybody has a number 10, not to do with your money, okay? And, you know, maybe you're thinking, you know, right now the Powerball is up to $400 million, the other. Maybe we can talk about that. Maybe you have a story on those lines. Feel free to call in 860-464-9490. What not to do with your money. And I always think of the Walmart story. And I don't know if I've told this before. I don't have a clue. My memory's gone. I'm so busy. Chris will tell me if I've told this before. But Sam Walton started Walmart, all right? And in the early 70s, he went public, okay? Which meant a lot of his long-time employees from the late 50s to the early 70s had a lot of stock options, and all of a sudden they were pretty well off for hanging out in Fayetteville, Arkansas. Okay. So one day, Sam comes into the parking lot after the public offering. He noticed a lot of the Chevys and Fords were being replaced with Lincoln Continentals and Cadillacs, okay, in the parking lot. And he came into the office a raving lunatic. Yelled, everybody come in the meeting room, was screaming and throwing things. And this is, I get this, you know, this story. And he looked at all of his employees in headquarters, and he says, listen. He goes, your customer is a housewife who is pinching pennies and coming into our stores to save money and get good value. Okay? Now, because we've done a good job for her, okay, you now have become wealthier than you ever dreamed you would be, and I have as well. But if we start buying Lincoln Continentals and Cadillacs, you know, this is the early 70s, so we didn't have the Mercedes, the Audis, and the whatevers, right? He goes, if you start buying these cars and thinking that you're different than they are, you're going to lose your focus on what's important to them. This company's going to go astray, and that net worth you've built up is going to fade away. So I don't want to see another fancy car in this parking lot tomorrow. And darn, the next day, not one person brought in a fancy car the very next day. That's the Sam Walton story, and that's a true story. So, you know, it just shows you Sam was many things, okay? Smart, competitive, absolutely brilliant, okay? But he wasn't a fool. So be like Sam. Don't be a fool. Okay. But stock market. Let's talk about the stock market right now. Stock market's in bear territory. It went really quick. The internals really started to fade last week when the Federal Reserve raised rates again. And the Fed's going hostile, guys. The Fed, and I don't know if it's the swamp or it's what they're seeing, but the Federal Reserve thinks that we are still in the 1980s. They still think that labor isn't portable across borders, okay? Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. There's a story going around that Verizon is going to take between 2,000 and 15,000 employees, okay, fire them, hire Infosys, which is the big Indian company in India, okay, and hire all these Indian engineers to replace the American workers, okay? And the story points out most of the board of Verizon is companies that have done this at their companies, and now they're at Verizon, urging Verizon to do it, okay? And that comes back to these HB1 visas and the political controversy with that, limiting that and whatnot and everything else. Here's my point, okay? The point is this. Everything's portable with technology. The Fed is saying that we're going to have this huge inflation. Well, two-thirds of inflation comes from wages. If wages are going to stay compressed because technology makes labor portable around the world, especially the higher-end thinking labor, okay, then those days are gone. The Fed is fighting yesterday's battle by raising rates. And all they're doing is strengthening the dollar and making our exports less competitive, okay? They should be following the long end instead of the long end following them, okay? So the 10-year went to 314, 316. Mortgage rates are creeping up. They're inducing a slowdown, okay? Why? For the first time in 15, 20 years, working men and women in this country are starting to get a decent paycheck. They don't want that. Why? Who are their masters? You know? And I've always been an anti-inflation hawk. You know, remember my first car loan at 18.9? Thought that was the right thing at the time. This is the wrong battle at the wrong time. The Federal Reserve is making a huge mistake. This guy who now run them is trying to make a name for himself. And be honest with you, I'm not impressed. He should not be leading the long end of the bond market. The 10-year should not be following the 3-month. It should be the other way around. The tens of millions of people making decisions in the 10, 20-year treasury market are much smarter than you, Mr. Powell. Federal Reserve Chairman. Follow them, okay, and you'll stay out of trouble. That's my advice to him. So the market's moved in bear market territory, but earnings are coming. And watch out, because with earnings coming, if earnings are as good as I suspect they're going to be, this bear market is going to turn on a dime and probably go to new highs. I don't know. Short term, I don't do it. I have no idea short term what's going to happen. But I know I've got my lists of companies I'm waiting, and ETF and industry things that I'm waiting to buy if they have a little sale. Okay? That's what you got to be. Remember the tortoise? Plan, plan, plan. Everything's organized and ready to go. So when they come down to these stupid levels and the media is all negative, you smartly have your plan out. And meanwhile, the hare will be trying to make it the quick buck, buying puts, fooling around with options and all that crap, okay? And we'll lose a shirt. So be a tortoise, not a hare. Be smart. Because I think we have a revolution going on in this country. And I think markets are going to go much, much higher than they are now. That's my view. And so I'm planning accordingly. And there'll be times when I take short-term profits. But in the long term, I think we're going much, much higher. And America is coming back very, very strongly. And I feel very strongly about that. If you'd like my Retirement 10 Commandments, or make an appointment and see where you're at and review your statements, please call me during the week or on the weekends. It doesn't matter. 860-415-9614. We'll talk to you in a few. Thank you. Everybody to 94.9 News Now Radio. Hope everybody's doing well. This is Dennis O'Brien, Retirement Life and Investing Show. I'm president of O'Brien Retirement, www.obrienretired.com. Let's talk investments a little bit today. I like the robotics, cannabis, the banks, oil, biotech industries right now. I love those indexes, those ETFs. I'm watching them. And like I said, we have a little mini bear market coming here. I'm looking to buy some of these because I like them long term. Locally, General Dynamics and Pfizer are bucking the downtrend in the market. They're doing actually very, very well, holding up very, very well. GD, as we talked before, who knows? Gulfstream may make it a turn, may get some, start getting some defense money. And Pfizer has a new chairman. I believe he's Greek. Ian Reed stepping down, and I think his name is Birla. And he's very highly regarded and has been leading the charge for new drug compounds. So, Mr. Birla, good luck to you. I like the way the stock's reacting. And who knows? Wait and see if Mr. Birla can continue the uptrend that Mr. Reed seemed to start. So we'll go there. All right, there's a new guy running GE, and he looks like a keeper, this guy. He did a great job at Danaher. He was very gifted at bringing in, and this is a real tough thing to do, but he was very good at acquisitions, this guy. Watch very carefully. Would love to buy GE if the turnaround eventually is real. Now, you got to remember, this is a $45 stock 12, 15 years ago. It's sitting here at 11, 12, wherever. I don't track it day by day, but I do watch it. All right? Now, GE, who knows? Maybe this guy is a visionary, can turn around. The other guy, he just couldn't get out of his own way. I think he was being too cautious, more of a bureaucratic mindset. I think he's a good man, but I don't think he was the number one. But this guy, the new guy from GE, I'm going to be watching him very carefully, kids, and you should too, because if he is as good as I suspect he may be, we can make some money here. So let's watch him and see what he does, because very rarely you get an old blue chip. It's not a blue chip anymore, but an old blue chip that may turn around. So we'll see what happens here. All right, I'm going to talk about something that's a little off the beaten track here, but something that I'm tracking and studying and very, very curious about. Dating sites. One of my favorite questions when I meet anybody, and I'm not talking about on the, just the business side, but just out there in the community, I meet a couple and everything else, and I always ask them, how'd you guys meet? You know, and people love to tell, and it's, sometimes the stories are really great, you know. But, you know, I met, we were visiting a joint friend in a hospital room. I had that one from neighbors. How'd you two meet? Because they get married later in life. And turn out, car accident. They went to visit a friend and they met and they got coffee down the cafe, you know, whatever. But a lot of times, no matter what age, it's dating sites. People meet on dating sites these days. You know, that's just the way it is. So I'm watching what's going on in that market, okay, because I've always been interested in that. I've watched Match for years, and it's done very, very well. I think they're out of Dallas, but they own like 40 different sites, you know, Tinder and this and that, which I wouldn't even know what they were unless I had younger sons that tell me what's happening, or at least maybe 10% of what's happening. But the dating sites are evolving, and here's what I can gather from it. There's a site in China or in Asia called Momo or something like that. Don't hold me to it. But apparently they've developed a technology that helps people put up videos of themselves, okay? And so someone put up a video of themselves, and then people can say, oh, I like that person. I like the way they look. I like the way they talk, whatever it is, okay? And so they can buy them gifts, okay? So the site actually can monetize the gift buying. And now they're getting into something called challenges, where people can compete, say, who sings the song the best. And, you know, 100,000 people will be voting on it, and or gifting or whatever. And all of a sudden now there's a monetization going on for these dating sites, apart from advertising, which had fallen away, and apart from the monthly fees, there's another way to monetize this area. And I think this Momo kind of created it. So there's a couple of them here in the U.S. that I've been watching. And one company I'm watching that it's still a baby, but they went from zero to $48 million in annual revenues in less than a year just on this video monetization of gifting people that you may like to get their attention and maybe whatnot and whatnot, okay? So I'm just fascinated by it. I watch a lot of different things, but it's something that I'm going to be watching very, very carefully, because this Chinese stock has gone crazy. And so if this U.S. company is emulating what they're doing, maybe they'll go crazy too. So we'll wait and see if that's real or not. But I am very, very interested in that. And I see Chris staring at me with that death stare going, what site is that again? Okay. So anyway, let's move on here. Stop laughing. Stay away from whole life policies, please. Okay? I have people that are pitching whole life to everybody out there. Whole life, buy term insurance for a fraction. The only time you need insurance is when you have kids. Okay, or people that are depending on you, or a spouse, or a loved one, whatever it is, you buy term life so they can get over the hump if something happens to you. But stay away from whole life. Invest the difference. I think you can buy a term policy for 5% of what a whole life policy would be. And invest the difference in good companies. You know, buy a good company, especially when they're having a little sale, you know. So these are some of the things I want to talk to. I just want to tell you kind of a funny story this week, and I want to come into my world a little bit. A couple came in, we went through their finances, and I said I would get a retirement in a nutshell plan to them. I do the cash flow plan based on the questionnaire on my website, which you can print out and send in to me, and I will do a retirement in a nutshell plan for you. Cash flow, 30 years out, 18 pages. It's really nice. And it's a starting point. Once the numbers are in, I can change them and everything else. So a couple came in, went through their finances. And I said, I'll get a retirement plan to them. And they said, oh, that's nice. Everything else, got their thing. 5 days later, I get this admonishing email saying, where's the plan? And we gave you our emails. I said, I'm thinking to myself, there was no time limit here. We were going to get back together in a couple of months. You know, I'll work on it, but everything else. But they seem really urgent. And I react to that when somebody gets urgent with me. But remember, this is all free, okay? So please, take it easy on me, guys. So I said I didn't realize we're on a time constraint. I'll work on it this morning, and 3 hours later, I sent it out to them, emails and everything else. Then I hear nothing. Two phone calls. I hear nothing. So finally, 3 days later, I get an email saying, oh, they got it, but they haven't read it yet because they're in New Hampshire on vacation. I go, really? Really? It could not wait? You know? So that's my world, people. That's my world, people. But, you know, to be honest with you, I'm pretty easygoing, so if you tell it's a rush, I'll drop everything and get it done if you need it. That's the way I'm wired. It's like when you stop at a crosswalk and people just kind of slowly cross the walk. All right. That drives me nuts because when I hit a crosswalk on a crowded street, I'm moving. If I'm not jogging, I'm walking really fast to get out of the way, you know? So that's just the way I'm wired and, you know, whatnot. So thought I'd bring that up and everything else. I went to the 9/11 Museum last week. Really? $24, guys? Really? A gift store? Really? People taking selfies there? Really, a mall in this white building that looks like a snail? I think it's called the Oculus or something, and it's absolutely beautiful inside. I have to admit that. Give them that. But there's a mall in there. This is sacred ground to me. It was like the whole thing. The pools are beautiful. I love the pools and everything else, but people are taking selfies. I don't know. I just call me old-fashioned, but sacred ground is sacred ground. Don't be yelling out. Don't be running around. It's sacred ground, but just call me an old fart. I don't care. It is what it is. A few months ago, somebody called me up. Very successful business. Done well, but they needed some money. And I want to take it from the personal side. And I said, listen, keep your business side. So I've been thinking about a lot about it, stuff like that. And you say you have a $6 million business, okay? And you're running, you're very successful, very profitable, and everything else. I think if you're a $6 million business, you should have $900,000, 15% in cash in your business accounts. That's what I think, because opportunities will come up. Grab $200,000-$300,000 for a brand new opportunity. Keep cash on the sidelines. If you're in private business, make sure you're liquid on that side. Don't tie it all up into machines and buildings and whatnot. Okay, a lot of you do this. Okay, you're very successful, really fantastic, I admire you, but make sure you have cash balances for any opportunities that come up. When you send cash and pay tax and everything comes over to your personal side, that doesn't go back, okay? That should not go back, ever, especially if you get over 60, okay? So it's a big, big deal. Be very careful there, okay? I've had 60-year-olds come in my office loaded with debt. Okay, they bought a building, they bought a new house, and their business is doing really, really well. But they look at me and they go, what do you think? And I go, I would have yelled at you before you did these two things. Okay? So after the show, I'm meeting with a couple next week. They're receiving a large inheritance. They're scared still because they do not want to blow it. They're smart people that come in, but will they listen to a pro? We'll see. Okay? But they made the first major good decisions. Come in. Let's get organized. Let's see where you're at now, where you'll be afterwards, and the best way to proceed from there. Because there's a lot of implications. I don't know how large the inheritance is, but there's a lot of implications to it. So it's smart for them to come in. I'm doing a Facebook Live with Lisa Carberg next week. Lisa's a pro, former Fox TV anchor. She has some great stories about working in New York with O'Reilly, Ailes and all that crew in New York. So looking forward to that Facebook Live with her. And the last point is Connecticut at the last minute raised a mandatory withholding on IRA pension payments to 6.99% unless you fill out a W-4 at the last minute. All that extra money coming in before an election. All that refunded next year. I don't know, guys. They're playing games up in Hartford. It just doesn't stop. Anyway, if you would like to have an appointment, go to my website, dobryanretire.com, or email me at dobryan@ifgrr.com, or call me at 860-415-9614. Have a great week. Take care.